Blog Talk Radio.
Injuries, my ministry leaves the industry in a tailspin. I push the envelope like U.S. mailmen. We need a leader who is not mischievous. Devious from Satan's literal leaders won't retract the fact to act facetious. In fact, the rat to pack with facts to teach us, reach us, easily leave them speechless. Read from the palm of the non-believers. Son of they wondering how they become underachievers. One of the best, the perennial keynote speaker. I got it, you want it, come get it, I want it, and I will show you a way to let my people go today. Try to get over, slow to get under,
let my people go.
I make it feel so good, you don't need to wonder.
Let my people go.
I take away the storm cloud, the rain, the thunder.
Let my people go.
Knowing it's hard times for the people, huh? I knock your ass unconscious, put it up on YouTube, then film a sequel so it's free for the people, huh? Go ahead and download it, I'ma teach you how. Be as a prophet, a pastor, a preacher with undisputable logic for blasting through your speaker now. I'm trying to learn your monk ass, I'm trying to reach you now. And still you're like, who's this dude? Return to six shapes the game like Rubik's Cube. Chicksies brolic now, ruthless too. Fix the gospel on wax, what he chooses to do. Damn, open your eyes, man, you've been bamboozled by the usual plan. Sit up the middle like Sam Usual. If y'all are telling me today's music is suitable and appealing, and I'm telling you the feelings are not mutual.
Try to get over, know to get under. Let my people go.
Genesis, the world wonder, still standing like pyramids, designed to vivid. Every brick it got a story to tell. My rhyme flow different like a hieroglyphic. Mind prolific, infinite like mathematics. The first language, now add that and add graphic. Go ahead. Info let the block know it's the gospel. Life's new manual, so watch close. The new Michael Wands and lower Pablo Picasso. Prepare to show you the cosmos and Rob flow. Even my lyrical metaphysical, what this is do is help you get to your spiritual pinnacle. You find your mind too far fetched for it to fathom. I bring the darkness to the light, such an atom. It's like watching a Big Bang Theory emerge. I take titles, spawn them to a billion worlds. They want a clear view when the father's in the darkest corner of the universe to a corner near you. A barrel and ghetto apparel, stay blamed up, force not to play. A modern day king cut, rap tight, rap like I've been preserved in time. Spit the holy water, touch it and turn it to wine. It's the dog. So he fell from paradise to holy hell. Probably descendants of the Holy Grail. Another part of history they won't reveal. Time to only tell. He waited for judgment. It came in the form of a dove in the game to create his composition. It's blood in my vein. The chemical is identical. We one of the same. With seven letters and all three of my government names. Walk on water, nah, neighbor to Jesus. It's a parable to make followers and readers believers. From Egypt to Budapest, rock him as the truest left. Understand the scriptures like the minister Lewis F. I told you who God is, you ignore me like most of the prophets. Jesus, Solomon, Abraham, Moses, and Muhammad. I told the scholars, would fulfill the broken promise. I speak the truth to predict the future like those two diamonds. Like revelations and holes in my clothes, reveal the seven spirits of God. When I open the seal, interpret the holy Quran. These flows of God's translated to law and decode the Bible. Warn the elders in the mosque, made songs and the laws. The seven churches, the synagogues, it's the Renaissance. In the bronze, like the Messiah, rocking my laws. About to reveal a bigger secret in time, men of God.
No doubt, this is about Godhood from the God MC. All right, so tonight discussion will be metaphysically decoding world religions or world religions metaphysically decoded, whichever way you want to take it. And then we're going to get into that subject matter. And really get into some real details because I had a discussion this past week with a brother who was just coming into consciousness, coming into this information, and he was coming from out of the school of Christianity. And I just felt like it was my obligation in order to give as much information as possible, so we stayed on the phone for over an hour or so. And I was actually taking him through the Bible and showing him where God actually exists, where the Holy Spirit actually exists, where Jesus Christ actually exists, and how it was an allegory of fictional characters. Because if you look up the definition of allegory, that's what you're going to find embedded inside of the definition is fictional characters. So, we was getting into that. So, let's jump into this. All right. Basically, it was at the Council of Jamnia in 90 AD that the compilation, basically, of what we now call the Old Testament was revised. And coming from the ancient mystery school teachings, or what's called the Herbach or the Hakka teachings, which actually are the teachings of Tahuti, because Tahuti had 42 books. And the Bible is a summary of those particular books. Particular one is the rise and evolution of Ra. referred to also as the Book of Coming Forth by Day and Night, or the Pehemheru text, or the Pehemheru suit text, which is also misnomered by Wallace Budge as being the Book of the Dead. But in 90 AD, at the Jannia Council, they was revising the original Septuagint of the Old Testament. That's when it began. The original was supposedly been written by 70 plus two rabbis, but we'll get into that in a minute. So we know that by the time of 325 AD, Constantine, who was the emperor of Rome, called for 319 bishops. One of the bishops was excommunicated from the proceedings, and his name was Arian, because he did not go along with the creation of this created creature called Serapis. Now, of course, you can find this in the book called Historical Origin of Christianity by Walter Williams. But what Walter Williams doesn't speak on is that it was Flavius Josephus, all right, who actually is Josephus or Joseph of the Bible, who played Paul, who played Jesus. These are all fictional characters. Flavius Josephus, who was the first century historian, actually was Arius Paisos or Pisos, who was the first to declare his plays. All right, these were plays in which that he translated originally from off the walls of Tamaray or Kemet or Egypt. All right, from the various texts later to become recompiled as the alleged authentic history of the I guess you could say, of the Albion Jews, you know, and, you know, that of the Christians, you know, because we found out that Arius Pisos was related to the Jewish king Herod. Now, you know, Herod is mentioned in the New Testament in Luke as well as in Mark. So he's mentioned in there, okay? And he was related to Herod. Herod is probably one of the few characters in which that actually existed, in which that he put within that storyline. And he was also related to the Ptolemies as Cleopatra Ptolemy. All right. And so that gave him access to Egypt in order to get that information. All right. So this is what took place. There's certain other information, you know, in which that correlates to that, because when we're talking about the word Holy Bible, we're talking about Helios Biblios, the Latin term, or Helios Biblio, which is the Greek term, as well as it's coming from the raw papyrus or raw papyri, which that was the original name of it, which is talking about the Book of Ra, or what is known as the rise and evolution or evolving of Ra. And Ra symbolizes the soul. So it's not a actual netter in that regard. In other words, not a physical character. Even though this component exists within you as you being a physical character, this is how they anthropomorphize these characters and now have you worshiping something assumingly outside of yourself, when actually it is within you, all right? God is within you, all right? Or the Netter is within you. And this Netter is located specifically within your pineal gland, all right? Descartes, a French philosopher, stated that the soul is embedded inside of the pineal gland. The pineal gland sits at the center of the brain. It is known as the mind's eye, or the all-seeing eye, or the all-eye-seeing. That's what this actually is. This is the same eye that's on the back of the dollar bill, you know, above the pyramid. Except on the back of the dollar bill, the eye or the top part or the triangle at the top part is not connected to the rest of the pyramid. And the reason why, because the work has not been done yet. It has not been finished. Upon finishing that work, the mind and the body connects. But it has to come through discipline, morality, has come through you actually applying these practical things in which that these stories symbolically, you know, what they meant. All right, so this is what we're going to try to do tonight, is decode as much of this as possible. Now, if you get, if you go to www.angelfire.com, /WI, /famtree, famtree, /josari.html, is an article on Flavius Josephus was really Arius Pisos, or Pisos. It says the true reason Pisos used the literary synonym of Flavius, it was not because of his alleged but untrue and hardly necessary adoption by Emperor Flavius Vespasian. He was in fact, this is what it says, he was in fact already a Flavian. So Flavius Josephus was really Arius Pisos, or Pisos, and Arius Piso was or played Jesus in the New Testament. This is what it says. So don't get mad at me. You know, if it comes to these walls being broken down in your mind, it's necessary so that we can reestablish and rebuild, rebuild and destroy. Right? This is what we must do. We must destroy negativity and build positively. All right, so you get another book. It's called Christ and Caesars. Christ and the Caesars is written by Professor Bono Bauer. That's Bauer. And it was a work in like 1877, which he stated that he concluded that the Romans had authored the New Testament and that Flavius Josephus, which is Arius Piso, was the inventor of Jesus, which became Serapis, you know, which was Serapis. You know, Sir Apis. Sir means sun. Apis means bull, which is talking about the sun in Taurus. Astrologically, that's what he's talking about. Which was under the Council of Nicaea, all right, in 325 AD. All right. If you go to the Roman, if you go to your Google search and you put in the Roman Pisos homepage, and Pisos is spelled P-I-S-O. Pisos or Pisos, and you go to there, and it's called Albalor Rochelin. He found the key to unraveling just who the actual authors were, and that the authors were to be found in the Roman Pisos family, who was part of the Fugi dynasty. And that's F-R-U-G-I, Fugi Dynasty. And he says that he authored a booklet that came out in 1979, and it was available on that particular website. Now, so I recommend that y'all go there so y'all can find out. Now, as I said, Arius Pisos was related to King Herod, the same family that supposedly wanted to kill the coming Messiah, if you remember the story. His so-called Jew, or Jewish, like a Jew, Caesarian name actually was Yosef ben Mathathiahu. Okay, Yosef is the Hebrew for the English transliteration of the name Joseph, which comes from the ancient Kemetic deity or Netter called Seb, which is the same word as Geb. We get Joseph in the Old Testament as well as Joseph in the New Testament. This is what these characters was based on. And since Arius Pisos was from the bloodline of the Flavians, he became Flavius Josephus. He was also related to the, as I said, to the Egyptian rulers at the time of the Ptolemies. All right? So, therefore, Arius was descended from the Ptolemy family and had access to all of Egypt and copied the hieroglyphics or the Medinetus scenes from off the walls and made it into a play, which is the greatest story ever told, called the New Testament. And the Ptolemy family ruled Egypt. There was 12 rulers named Ptolemy, from I think it was like 331 to 30 BCE. Okay, so that was before the Christian era, before you know, Christ, as they would say. You know, now if you read Victor Mano's information, it's called a short synopsis of the Pisos history, or Pisos history. He says the family descended from Philip II of Macedonia. Now, you don't know who Philip is? Well, he was the father of two sons, particularly Alexander the so-called Great, and Lagos, who was called the Rabbit. All right, so the Piscean or the Piso line, descended from the Lagos down through the many Ptolemies, who were the kings of Egypt, in his end of greatness, to include Cleopatra as well as also Arius Pisos. So in this day, they were all well known, as many great writers mentioned them. They were members of the closed society of the Zoroastrianism, all right? This book supposedly came from Zarathustra, all right, who was known as Zoroaster, which basically means the study of the stars, all right? And he was the priest of the temple of Zila in the homeland of Pontus on the southern coast of the Black Sea. Now, Zoroastrianism, for those who don't know, was originally in theology, spiritual system, degraded into a religion founded around, some say 700 BCE, some say 5 to 500 BCE, allegedly by a Persian prophet named Zarathustra or Zoroaster. So the basic belief of Zoroastrianism is that there is a constant battle between the spirits of good and the spirit of evil. All right, you had Hiro Mazda, and this is what they believed in was the god of good and a god of evil. This is the same concept that we find throughout Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. You know, of the good and bad. And this concept comes from the battle in which that was waged in the Purim Heru text between Set and Heru. This is what this actually was coming from. This is what it was taken from. So in 66 CE, Arius Pisos waged war against Jerusalem and defeated the Jewish people. Right, the Pisos, who was a Roman aristocratic family, hated the Jews, all but the Herodians, which were basically the Sadducees, because they was related, they was relatives. All right, he tore down the temple there with the help of the Pisos relative named Titus in 70 CE, just as Caesar has torn down the temple of Zila. And to commemorate that, his victory, he created a religion to keep the slaves humble. He and his family authored the New Testament, cleverly invented a Jesus Christ with the initials as Julius Caesar, oddly enough, who will replace Caesar as the head of what was to become the new state religion of Rome called Christendom, i.e. Christianity. So if you don't know the science of ancient Egyptian mythology and the mysteries called the Harkah or the Herbach, then you would never get this information. You would never know what is truly going on here. And you will always be confused about religion. All right? Now, there's another book called The Rise, Decline, and the Fall of Roman Religion, Christianity, all right? And it's written by James Ballantyne Haina. And it was the next was written about this Roman authorship of the New Testament. And it was in that book in 1925. He wrote that in 1925. Now, there's another website y'all can check out. www.farganaspere, which is farganaspere.com, /pisos, /. So that's www.farganaspere.com, /pisos. And in this article, it says the true authorship of the New Testament. And it says basically in this article that to the slaves, the Old Testament was intended to mean the Torah. All right. Of course, we know, you know, in particular, the first five books of the Old Testament called the Pentateuch. All right. That would be the five books of Moses. Actually, it's called the Septuagint, or the Greek transliteration, or the translation of the Torah. And it says, to the royals, the Old Testament was intended to mean the last will and testament of Julius Caesar. You can see here a perfect example of a dual meaning, one for the slaves and one for the royals. So now you must decide which one you're going to be. Are you going to be a slave to the mythology, or are you going to be able to explain the mythology and become a royal? Because the royals understand the metaphysics of this information. So in the Septuagint, by the way, was written by the so-called 70 plus 2 rabbis at the Library of Alexandria, which was named after Alexander the so-called Great in Egypt. So they tell you where the stories come from. Because the Ptolemy pharaohs were ancestors of the Phrygians. And the Septuagint was actually paid for by them because they actually owned it, and they decided to include it in their new version of the Bible. So it's also interesting that these were 70 plus two rabbis involved in the writing, and that the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 CE. All right, that's no coincidence. And if you go to www.axy.co.uk, /Christianity, it says the Library of Alexandria, the workshop in which religions were modeled, was Alexandria in Egypt. So all the religions of the world was modeled there in Alexandria in Egypt. So it says the focal center of culture, knowledge, religious speculation, and propagandism, it became the emporium for religious dogmas throughout the East and a place of the resort for the disciples of nearly every system of religious faith then existing. The Alexandrian Museum and Library was founded and maintained by a long succession of the Ptolemies in Egypt from the beginning of the 3rd century BC, before Christ, and then after Ptolemy the First Psalter, one of Alexander's generals, also one of his brothers, made himself the pharaoh of Egypt at the suggestion of Demetrius. All right, he set up a shrine devoted to the Muse, which is the Museum of Alexandria, and a letter dated about 180 to 145 BC first mentions the Library of Alexandria. The author, Aristeus, a Jewish scholar, is relating about a century later a romanticized account of the translation into Greek of the Jewish scriptures. And he writes that Demetrius recommended Ptolemy Psalter to gather a collection of books on kingship and ruling. All right, so this is what is said. And so Ptolemy gave Demetrius the job of gathering, extending books and scrolls and supervising the translation of the books of all nations into Greek. And the translation of the Jewish scriptures began it. And at Demetrius' suggestion, Ptolemy hired in-house 72 rabbis for the project. All right? You know, so this is actually what was going on. And so the Jews has always copied features they like from the religions of their neighbors or conquerors and drafted their doctrines into the Judaism, as the Old Testament history shows. So Ptolemy of Philadelphia, he set up the museum library and later the Serapis, all right, which is where the Serapis image comes later on in 325 AD by Constantine, because he was continuing that same lineage or line of information coming from out of Egypt, Greece, and into Rome. So the theological schools arose in a stimulating mix of pagan, as they would call it, which not pagan, the word pagan just simply means the people, traditions, Jewish and Eastern thought developed. And ideas were adopted not only from other theologies commonly in Alexandria, but also from Zoroastrianism of Iran, and even through the founder of the Neo-Platonism, Ammonism, Buddhism, and Hinduism from India. So men of every philosophy and every faith meet, exchanging ideas and borrow religious doctrines, revising their own religions in the light of others' wisdom. This is what it says. This is what it says. So according to Carl F. Burge, B-E-R-G-E-S, he says how the Old Testament came to be. He states that although the whole of the Old Testament has been written by 150 B.C., he says the writers were not declared authorized or, you know, until 90 A.D. by the Council of the Rabbis at Jannea. It was this group, you know, said, you know, some say up to 72 rabbis, which decided which of the later writings should be included in the Old Testament. Now, that's the same as what happened later on with Constantine taking the writings of Aurelius Pisos, which was taken from the writings of the 72 rabbis at the behest of the Ptolemy family from off the walls of ancient Egypt, as well as also from the Sumerian texts, which is the extension of the Zoroastrianism, the study of the stars, astrotheology. Now, if you get the book called Jesus Chronicles, Old Truths Uncovered by Judy James Carter, she states that it was not until 397 A.D. that the Bible assumed its present form. Its first synod of Laodicea held about 363 A.D. in assembly of bishops decided what could be read aloud, and they were Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Esther, First and Second Book of Kings, Third and Fourth Books of Kings, First and Second Book of Ezra, the Book of the 150 Psalms, the Book of Proverbs, which is actually the Book of Solomon, Ecclesiastics, the Songs of Solomon, Job, 12 Prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Baruch, the Laminations and the Letters, Ezekiel and Daniel. All right. Now, the books of the New Testament are these. Of course, we know the four Gospels according to Matthew, which actually symbolizes Tahuti, or Mati, as his name actually was also, hence the word Matthew. Mark, which is the word Marku, which is a form of Hebrew. Luke, which is Ra, which symbolizes Ra. John, which is On, or An, you know, which also is another form of Ra. And the Acts of the apostles, the seven Catholic epistles or letters, you know, which is actually the book of Paul's, James, the two books of Peter, three books of John, Jude, and the 14 epistles of Paul, once again. All right? Was, maybe call it the seven Catholic epistles or letters. I'll leave it at that, even though the book of Paul's actually was written by Aurelius Pisos also, which we'll get into that in a second. So the authenticity of Christianity is based on the Jewish religion, which is called Judaism. But the word Judah actually comes from Tahuti. Matter of fact, the word Tahuti, when it actually is said, coming from the Metuneter, or the Metuneter, it says, is pronounced Jehuti. Jehuti, and it's spelled D-J-E-W-H-U-T-I, or T-Y. The word Jew is embedded inside of Jehuti. And so, hence, this is where they get their name from, because they claim that to be the followers of wisdom, which is Jehuti symbolized, which is the Ipis bird, which symbolizes the form of the soul, and also the recorder of the deeds and actions of the Netters. So, hence, when Muslims say, Assalamu alaikum, and then they turn to the right and say that, and then they turn to the left and say, Assalamu alaikum, or Rahmatud, Barakatuhu, they're speaking to these two the good and bad angel who records the good and bad deeds of their ways, actions, and behaviors, in which that when you look at the cartoons, you see the same thing with the you know, with the so-called, you know, angel and the devil popping up, you know, on the right and left hand shoulder. That's what that symbolizes. All right. So all that is symbolic because it's nothing more than the two hemispheres of your brain. All right. Call your cerebrum. You have two cerebrums, and they are the recorders of your deeds and actions, and that information is stored in the medulla oblongata, which your past lives as well as also photographic memory is located at. That is the space within that correlates to Gulf, which is one of the letters in the 22 Hebrew script, in which that Gulf symbol is an axe, a monkey, copy. And it symbolizes, and it also is called the mouth of God, which symbolizes the back of the head. It's called the back of the head or the skull. That's what Gulf means. That's the symbol of it. So when Jesus, when they say Jesus was crucified on Mount Calvary, which is called Mount Golgotha, Golgotha means the back of the head or the skull. And it says Jesus was crucified at the back of the head or at the skull. It's talking about at the place of the medulla oblongata, which is the mouth of God, which is the copying center. So here's the reason why you see as part of the 22-letter script, Gulf means copy also, because this is the place in which that your memories are stored at. All right? So it's recorded within the cerebrum, which symbolizes the cherubims, the two cherubims in which that protected the Ark of the Covenant. You see the movie or the Ark of the Covenant, you will see them demonstrating that. Well, that is the ancient custom in which that comes from out of Ethiopia, the Kush, in which they still practice today, because that is where the Ark of the Covenant is located at. But the Ark of the Covenant ritual ceremony is symbolic to what takes place within your physical body. So we get caught up on the acting and the symbolism and the ceremonies and rituals instead of understanding the real essence of what is being conveyed, and that is talking about the energy is coming up the spinal column to illuminate the Ark, you know, of Covenant, you know, which is that the blending of the lower nature and the higher nature to become one self. So Offset, you know, awakens Osar, and he emerges as the awakened soul, which is Heru. That's what that symbolizes. All right, so we have to understand this. So during this period between 100 through 1300 A.D., there were about 4,000 manuscripts. So we must understand that the Old Testament and the New Testament have been found to be a mixed cultural stories passed down through the generation to generation from Kush, Ethiopia, to Mesopotamia. You know what I'm saying? You know, so therefore, we can still utilize it, but only if we Afrocentralize it. All right? So this is what we have to do. All right, we can no longer fall for the nonsense. So when you look at Genesis, Genesis actually comes from the Pehem Heru Sut, or the opening of the mouth, or coming forth by day and night, or light and shadow, also known as the Book of Knowing, the evolution of Ra, as we said, and the overthrowing of Apep. All right, within that story, this is where the Canaan Abel story comes from, which is actually based on Sutek or Khonsu and Osar. All right, you get another book that correlates to the information that's in Genesis, is the deliverance of man from destruction, in which that speaks about the Nuank Ra, a Nuank Re, which is talking about Noah. Then you have the Mer Papyrus, which is the pyramid text, and the papyrus the Orbeni, called the Potiphar story, or the tale of the two brothers, which is the story of basically of Joseph in the Old Testament, which is the form of Seb or Geb. Then you have the traditions of the 7 years, lean years in Egypt, all right, which is also about that same story of Joseph. And then you have the later story of the Mesopotamian legal documents. You have the Enuma Elish, which is the creation story, the Babylonian epic of Gilgamesh, all right, which speaks about Zeus Sudra, which is a form of Noah, or the Utnapishtim, all right, which is the form of Noah is Sumerian, as well as Arcadian form, or both of them are the form of Noah, but you'll find of Gilgamesh. Then you have the Sumerian tale of Dumuzi, which speaks about the Cain and Abel story, or Enki and Enlil. All right? And you have Adapa, which is basically the form of Enoch. All right? Which is in the Old Testament, so in the book of Genesis. So this is where these stories come from. This is what the book of Genesis is made up from, is these various books that I just made mention of. You know, so as we go through them, I'm going to go through where all these books come from. All right? And no one has ever done this before. So y'all niggas, when y'all dare repeat this, make sure that y'all give me credit. Because this is real scholarship. So Exodus, it speaks about being derived from the real history of Tutmosis, or Tahutimus the third, also of Akhenaten, or Amenhotep the fourth. And that information can be found in the Battle of Megiddo, the Asiatic campaign of Thutmosis the third, and the expulsion of the Hyksos under Ahmosis. And the latter story is that conveyed to Sargon the first of Arcadia. All right, it was called the Legend of Sargon. Now, Sargon, same story about Moses being put in a basket and being sent up the river to a family of royalty to be raised among. That is the same information, the same story in which that was in Sargon. And Sargon existed 1,000 years before the story of Moses. And he actually existed. So the concept of God becomes Atan, all right, in which that's the concept of God, you know, came from the ancient Kemetic or Tamaran deity or Netzer, Atan, and that later on becomes the Hebrew God Adonai, Adon. And now even in Greece, the same God becomes the sun god Adonis, which all three means sun, or symbolizes the sun. All right, so in the concept of the golden calf, which is also illustrated in the story of Exodus, that's derived from Heru or Hathor, and Apis, the bull, which is a form of Asar. So these various stories, we know where they come from. Leviticus is derived from the Egyptian tales of the papyrus of Ani, which is the virtues of Maya, which is called the Maitean code. This is where, out of the 147 negative confessions, as they are known as, we call them the virtues of Maya. They go down to 77 in some cases to 42, and the 42 laws of Maya is what becomes the 10 laws within your Bible. All right? Now, when you break down the signs of those 10, you have to go into some other information. Of course, you know, coming from the ancient Egyptian history. And we'll get into that in a minute, because there's a lot of information. So, also in the Hammurabi codes, all right, that information of the 613 laws of the Old Testament came, a lot of those laws of the Hammurabi codes can be found in there also. In particular, the one about eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for life, that comes straight from out of the Hammurabi code. Okay, Hammurabi code. Now, other collections of the laws include the Codex of the Nammu of Sumer, which was around 2050 BC. Then you have the Codex of Ish-Nuna, as well as also the Codex of Lipti Ishtar. All right, so Now, the Codex of Ishnuna was written around 1930 BC, and the Codex of Lipit Ishtar, all right, that's L-I-P-I-T, Lipit Ishtar, was written around 1870 BC, all right? So those are the books that makes up Leviticus. Then you have Numbers, which is derived from the story of Sinuhi, all right? Also, from stories of Akhenaten, which is Amenhotep IV and Tahuti III. Then you have Deuteronomy, which is derived from the 42 negative confessions of Maat, the papyrus of Ani. Later, the Hammurabi codes, other collections of laws include the codex of the same ones that we made mention of the Ur, Nammu, Ishnuna, and the Lapit, Ishtar. All right. Then we have Joshua, which is taken from the Battle of Megiddo, which is the Asiatic campaign of Thutmose III and the expulsion of the Hyksos under Ahmosis. Then you have Judges, which has come from the myth of the Epiphany of Sinai. All right, the Songs of Deborah is derived from there. Solomon, meaning the man of the sun, which symbolizes Ra or consciousness, and Delilah, meaning the door to the darkness of the subconscious. All right, so thus, Samson symbolizes the seven rays of the sun, the spectrum of light. Delilah symbolizes the moon, shadow time, called night or the underworld. So that's what that all symbolizes. And it was taken also from the journey of when Amen to Phoenicia. When Amun or when Amen of Phoenicia. All right? And the Akkadian creation epic. Then you have Ruth, the book of Ruth, in which that was taken from the concept of Het-Heru, which is Hathor, which becomes Hagar, also in the scriptures. Then you have Samuel, all right, which is derived from Samura, which means the priest of the sun god, and is partially taken from the Epic of Gilgamesh. The Lasnish Astraka, and the Arcadian creation epic, and the tales of Akkad. Okay, so this is where this information is coming from, y'all. All right, we got the Book of Kings. All right, that's derived from the Kemetic, Assyrian, and the Babylonian reign, mainly from Akhenaten, Tahuti, which is Thutmose the Third, Shikhan the First, Adad, Naruri the Third, Tiglath, Pileser the Third. You know, so I mean, many stories in which that these books of kings is taken from. Asura, Nasirpal the Second, Salman Nesser the Third, Sargon the Second, Shinnok, Herib, Nebuchadnezzar the Second. You know, so this is where these stories are taken from. So you can find the stories behind them. The Chronicles is taken from the same books, plus also the Ugaritic poems about Baal and Anith. Esra, the book of Esra is taken from the Pehem Herusut, which is the opening of the mouth ceremony, coming forth by day and night, light and shadow. The Chronicles of the Chaldean kings, the fall of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar II, and Cyrus. Nehemiah, information is taken from the petition for authority to rebuild the temple of Yahu, which is based on Akhenaten and Thutmose. In particular, this is Thutmose, not the third, but this is Thutmose, you know, which symbolizes David or Dawid or Daoud, as he's called. And of course, Akhenaten also symbolizes Solomon within the story. All right, so Thutmose the Third symbolizes Dawid, David, Adaw, you know, and Akhenaten symbolizes Solomon. This is how they have it. But also Solomon's father has Psalms also, who was Amenhotep III. All right, he has information that he could also partly, he also symbolizes partly the story of David. All right, so they took many compositions, many actual living pharaohs of Egypt and different other kings, and they compiled these stories in order to make up these particular plays of Josephus, as well also of the 72 rabbis of the Ptolemies. Now you have Esther. Esther is derived from Ishtar. Ishtar means the star, which also symbolizes the brightest star in the night sky, which is the blazing star, which is Sirius, which is spoken about within the Holy Quran as Surah Al-Najm, which is the chapter of the star. 53rd chapter of Surah, and the 49th ayat, which is verse. All right? Now, we know that Ishtar is taken from the Sumerian deity, or Esther, or Ishtar. And Ishtar is a form of Isis. And it's no coincidence that in the highest Masonic order of this eastern star, they call themselves the daughters of Isis. All right, then we have Job. Job is taken from the Egyptian excretion text and the Babylonian poems of Tabu Utel Bel, as well as also the Ugaritic legend of Kerit. All right, Kerit. So this is where this information of Job comes from. As a matter of fact, it's the same story. As a matter of fact, in the poem, Babylonian poem of Tabu Utel Bel, it says, "In my prison, my house is turned into the feather of myself. My feet have stumbled. With a whip, he has beaten me all day long. Purses me. In the night watches, he let me suffer through torn my joints or torn asunder. My limbs are destroyed. My sickness baffled the conjurers, and the seers left dark my omens." So this is basically the same concept in which that is mentioned within, when you read the book of Job, he says basically the same thing. So we know that's where this information is taken from. The book of Psalms derived from the hymns of Akhenaten. We know that because Psalms 40 and Psalms 104 are identical to the information taken that they have shown us in the hymns of Akhenaten. All right, then we have the Proverbs, which is derived from the instructions of the Pharaoh Ptah Hotep, and the instructions of Amenhotep, and the Akkadian observations of life, and the words of Hakira. All right, which these papyrus date back to like 1200 BCE. And which directly inspired the book of Proverbs, which only dates back to approximately 800 BCE. So this is where that comes from. Ecclesiastes is derived from the words of Ahikar and the Sumerian Proverbs. The Psalms of Solomon is derived from the love songs of the Arcadian hymns, also called the hymns of Ishtar. Of course, Ishtar is where we get the word Esther from. Which is in the Bible, as we said earlier. Isaiah is derived from the Sumerian papyrus of the prophecies of Nepherohu. The words of Ahikar and the Sumerian Proverbs. Jeremiah is derived from the words of Hakira and the Akkadian Mari letters. The laminations of Jeremiah is derived from the words of Akira and the Arcadia Mara letters also. Ezekiel is basically an astrotheology book. Of course, man is symbolic to Aquarius or Ptah, John within the New Testament, or the angel Gabriel. The lion is Leo, or Atum Re. His female consort is Semek. Segmat, which is symbolic to Matthew in the New Testament, or Uriel, the angel. The ox, which the calf, the bull, is symbolic to Taurus, or Osiru, Apis, which is Osiris Apis, a form of Osar, which is the strong bull, which symbolizes Mark or Raphael. And the eagle is Scorpio or Heru, which is the hawk, also which is symbolic to Luke or Michael, Mikael, and which represents the four cardinal points of the zodiac. All right? And, of course, we know this comes from right off the walls of the Temple of Dendera, which is at the Temple of Het-Heru. Then you have the Book of Daniel, which is derived from the earlier version of the Ugaritic legend of Daniel, D-A-N-E-L. So the name is the same, which is the Babylonian poem of Daniel, which was about 1600 BCE, and it stems from the legend of Akkad. Right? Then you have the Book of the 12 Minor Prophets, as they're called in the Old Testament, which symbolizes, once again, the 12 planets and the 12 zodiac signs, as they're known as, which are symbolic to the 12 nutritive blood salts in your bloodstream and the activation of the 12 pericranial nerves in your brain, as well as also to the 12 melanin sites in your brain stem, as well as also to the 12 disciples in the New Testament. That's what that is all symbolic to. Astro theology, y'all, but also as above, so below, as within, so without. And whenever you're not getting that supreme axiom when trying to decode these so-called scriptures, then you're missing the whole point. So Hosea means, in Hebrew, salvation. Well, Husa means within the Metuneta, the breath of life. So when we look at Hosea, it's the rendition of that story. Talking about salvation means the breath of life. So Joel, to whom Jehovah is God, Huel, which is Hurah, or Yarah, or Hu, which becomes Yahweh, also symbolizes the breath of life, or the breath of God. All right? Amos, or Atmos, Amos within Hebrew means burden. Atmos is within the Metuneta, means to be drawn forth from the water. All right? It's talking about the weight of the physical body. Obadiah means in Hebrew the salvation of Yah, God. But Abba-da means within the Metuneta, the heart's essence of soul and knowledge. You know. So we're going through these 12 Old Testament prophets or minor prophets, and this is what this all comes up to. Jonah means the Hebrew dove. Huni in the Metuneta means the breath of consolation. Micah means in Hebrew who is like Yah or God. And Merkah means in Metuneta the light of spirit. Nahum means in Hebrew consolation. And Nahum means in Metuneta knowledge of self. All right, the Habakkuk means in Hebrew embrace, and Habakkuk means God of the West and the East in Metuneta. All right, you have Zephaphani, which means Hebrew, hidden by Yah or God, and then you have Sutek-un, which means hidden black power of heaven, all right, which symbolizes, of course, the hidden substance of prana, which is called chi or ki, in which that we absorb. Right, so this is what these names are symbolic to. Hagar, meaning Hebrew, festive. Well, Het-Heru, which Hagar is actually derived from in the Metuneta, means the house of light. Zechariah means in Hebrew, memory of the Lord, think about, meditate upon, remembrance, or recollection, recite. Ptah, Ra, Soka means open of the way. Right, that's where his name is actually derived from. Malachi is derived, which means in Hebrew, king or angel, but it's derived from Maku, which is the form of Heru, which means the truth of the glorious light. All right, so all 12 books is actually derived from the Temple of Dendera, from the teachings, in which that is used in the religion of Zoroastrianism, which means the gazes of the stars, which is called in the Zen Aveda, which originated from the Israelites' exile, which is called the 10 missing tribes of Israel, all right, who became identified as the Sethians. Now, this is all symbolic, you know, because the 10 missing tribes of Israel is actually about the 10 strands of DNA, in which that is non-coded, in which that has not yet come back with the two strands of DNA, in which that 2012 symbolizes, based on the current solar flare activity in which that is taking place, and the reason why it's been warm a lot during the winter time this particular year, is because we were supposed to be absorbing that energy to help correct the DNA flaws, and this is supposed to be one of the largest years for the solar flare activity. So it's supposed to be transmuting us and mutating us, transforming us. All right. Now, that's what's supposed to be going on, y'all. All right. So that is the signs of the Old Testament. Now, we spoke about Arius and how Arius is basically a Flavius Josephus, which is actually, he plays Paul, who's also, you know, also related to King Herod. So, yes, the one and the same King Herod of the New Testament. So, Flavius Josephus was the famous first century historian. But in his works, the works of Flavius Josephus, translated by William Winston, he links himself to the identity of the infamous Saul, which is Paul. All right? Character, which is symbolized the sun character, which is an allegorical character. All right, so when you read about him, you'll find out that the family of Raius Paisos, or Pisos in particular, is the ones who authored the New Testament. So we just went through the Old Testament and where that came from, and now we're going to show you where the New Testament comes from and who put that together by name, just like we did the books in which that came from those 72 rabbis. We do not have the 72 rabbis per se, but we do have Ptolemy, who brought forth those 72 rabbis, who put those books together based on the books that we may mention of, which comes from the Metsuneta. All right, so we're trying to clear up as much confusion as possible so that, you know, in other words, the dude from Zeitgeist is not going to challenge me no time soon, I promise you, because I'm not Oshawa Kwesi nor Pastor Ray Higgins. I know the answers. So the thing is that, and I won't have no problem whooping his ass with this information that I'm telling you about. No problem. All right? So, matter of fact, you be able to whoop his ass with the information I'm telling you. So this is the point of what we're doing tonight. And that's no disrespect. I love Oshawa Kwesi and Pastor Ray. I'm just stating the facts of that. If they knew this information, there would have been no chance of the little white boy from Zeitgeist trying to come at either of them. But because he thought that he seen some openings, you know, of some information. Because, see, he was using Josephus, if you go back and look at it, he was using Josephus' information in order to beat up on them, and anyone who knew this information would have said, get the fuck up out of here. You're using Josephus' information now, actually was Arius Paisos or Pisos, a Roman aristocratic family who's related to Herod and the Ptolemies, and who wrote this goddamn New Testament, and he got that shit from the 72 rabbis? You know, in other words, it wouldn't have held any weight whatsoever. So anybody who's out there looking at this Zeitgeist bullshit, of him challenging Oshawa Kwesi and Dr. Pastor Ray, you know what I'm saying? Leave that shit alone. What they're saying is true, all right, even if you don't know. So let's go to the Book of Mark. The Book of Mark is derived from the title of Heru, which is, like we said, is the name Marku, or Mark Heru, or Mark Heru, which is, means the glorified body of light, all right? That was written around the time of 70 CE by Arius Coplonius Paisos of Pisos, all right? That was written by him. Then we have the Book of Matthews. That was, remember, this was his plays that he took from the works of the 72 rabbis during the Council of Jamnia, 90 AD, as well as also him being related to the Ptolemy family, which he seen also in the wars of Egypt as he traveled there and collected this information for his plays. So in other words, he gave it right back to us. So we might say, I might call it a play. However, as with all plays, we're talking about actors, and what do an actor do? They try to become the character. All right. Now you have the book of Matthews, which is derived from Mati, which is a form of Tahuti, in which that was written in 75 CE by Arius. Then you have Luke, which is actually derived from Ra. That's what the name. Luke means light. Ra means light, which is written from 85 to 90 CE by Arius, Paisos, and Finley the Younger. All right, Finley. That's P-L-I-N-Y, Finley. Then you have John, which is derived from An, which is another name for Tahuti, in which that was written by Justice Paisos, a son of Arius Paisos, around 105 CE. All right. Then you have the Book of Acts, which is written around 96 to 100 CE by Finley the Younger. All right. There's a portion of Acts that is missing from the most English transliteration or translations and interpretations. This is the 29th chapter, which has actually 10 verses. All right, then you have the book of Romans, which was written by Arius Paisos, all right, and Proculus Paisos, and Claudia Phoebe, which was written around 100 CE. Now, when you read a portion of the book of Romans, Claudia put herself in the book. She wrote the last few verses of this letter or epistle, which many copy of the New Testament in English leaves out because that portion was written by a woman. This is obvious, all right? And she even gives her name as Phoebe in there. You can tell where the previous male author leaves off and the female authors begin because the male author signs off with Amen. She wrote the last verses of the 25th and the 27th verse of Romans, the chapter 16. All right? Then you have 1 Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians, which was all written by Finley the Younger around 103 CE. You have 2 Corinthians and Philippians, written by Justice C. Paisos or Paisos between 103 and 105 CE. Then you have Galatians written by Justice C. Paisos and his son Julianus, who was the father of the Emperor Marcus Aurelius, all right, around that same time period. Then you have the 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, which is written by Finley the Younger and Justice C. Paisos between the years 105 and 107 CE. Then you have 1 and 2 Thessalonians, written by Justice Paisos and his son Julianus, or Julianus, and his nephew Celius, between 105 to 110 CE. Then you have Thaddeus, or Titus, written by Philly the Younger, 103 to 105 CE. Then you have Philemon, written by Justice Paisos and his son Julius, around that same time period. Then you have James, which is written by Justice C. Paisos around 110 CE. Then you have 1 and 2 Peter, which was written between 110 to 115 CE. Then you have 1 and 2 and 3 John, written by Julius Paisos, who is still another son of Arius Paisos, between 110 and 115 CE. Then you have Jude, all right, which was written by Julius Paisos or Paisos, 110, 115 CE. The book of Hebrews was written by Arius Paisos, who was, you know, grandson, who was called Flavius Arrhenius, around 140 CE. All right? And you have the Revelation of John the Divine, which was written by Julius Paisos, around 137 CE, all right? That is around the time when all of that was written. Now, in the book of Galatians, how we know that this is an allegory is because in Galatians, the 4th chapter, the 21st through the 26th verse, it specifically says, "Tell me ye the desires to be under the law. Do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, and one had a bondmaiden, and another had a free woman. But he who had of the who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, which symbolizes the lower self. It's not, you know, but he of the free woman was by promise, which symbolizes the higher self. Now check this out. It says, which things are in allegory? For these two are the covenant, and one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. From this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which is now and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So hence, this goes back to the teachings. The mother of virtue symbolizes the higher self. All right? Now, if you go to the Holy Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 6, it says, "He, it is who has revealed the book to thee." Some of his verses are decisive. They are the basics of the book, and the others are allegorical. Check this out. "Then those in whose heart is perversity follows the part of it which is allegory, seeking to mislead and seeking to give his own interpretation. And none knows his interpretation except Allah and those firmly rooted in knowledge." This is what it says. So, the Bible speaks about Galatians, 4th chapter being an allegory. We know 73% of the Quran is taken from the Bible. The other 27% comes from the Zoroastrian text, which is known as the Advaita, as we made mention of earlier. It comes from the book of the forgotten books of the Bible, the lost books of the Bible, and the forgotten books of Eden, as well as also from the Apocrypha. Okay, that's where the other 27% of the Quran comes from. So, the Quran itself says that portions of it is allegory or in the allegorical. Now, when you look up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, allegory means the expression by means of symbolic, fictional characters or figures. But it says fictional, a fiction, an action of truths or generalization about human existence. Also, as instant as in a story or painting of such expression, a symbolic representation. So, therefore, if Abraham, who's the supposed father of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, did not actually exist in human form, and neither did his sons Isaac and Ishmael, hence Isaac was supposedly the father of the Hebrews and the Jewish father, right? And Ishmael, the father of the Arabs and Islam, and if they didn't exist, and they were symbolic, fictional characters, then the so-called monotheistic religions of Judaism, which is the Holy Quran, Christianity, the Holy Bible, and which is New Testament specifically, and Islam, the Holy Quran, are partially allegorical in teaching and not just literal, and as we are led to believe by so-called religious heads. Therefore, all three called monotheistic religions are derived from the ancient African Kanu spiritual systems, hence Ethiopia Kush, which is Abyssinia, which of course is and their colony, which is becomes Egypt later on, or Temeri. So you have the Tanassians and you have the Temerians, in which that postulated this information. All right, so this is what is going on. Now we know who formed the Bible. And let's get into King James, all right? There's a lot of information about King James being black, of course, coming from specifically the group of the Hebrew Israelites, all right? It might have some merit. I'm not going to get into that. but that's not important. However, what is important is that there is a book in which that was written by King James, speaks about demonology, in which that is not spoken about, but you can go and do your research on it. Yet he was staunched against witchcraft, you know, in which that he also wrote this book on demonology. So he also was an expert at demonology with that information. And he also was the Grand Master of the United Grand Lodge of England, which is the largest, one of the largest Masonic halls outside of the King's Valley of Egypt, in which that he actually was the Grand Master of, and which is the, one of the Masonic halls, is a Masonic hall. Now, we know that the word Mason or Freemason actually comes from the word Freemason, all right, which is the ancient Egyptian or the Metonetal word in which that symbolizes the child of the light or the child of the sun, which that's what the Ethiopians actually were. The Kushites were called the children of the sun. This is why they was called Ethiop, which means burnt faces, and also later on, Egyptos, which means burnt face, how they got these names allegedly by the Greek and the Romans, all right? So we know that that was not their actual names. They are the Tanesians as well as also the Timerians, all right? If you get the book, Black Family of the Now, I believe it's called by Joseph Ben Yochanan, Dr. Ben, he states in there that the oldest name that we have for Egypt is Temeri. All right, so this goes without any saying. Now, we know that King James authorized the editing of this Bible from the Christians, or at that time from Christendom, which was held by the Vatican, or, i.e., which is now called the Universal Church or the Catholic Church, as it was called then. And he was moving away from them. Matter of fact, he got excommunicated. And he wanted to translate the Hebrew Greek versions into English. All right. Of course, it's a Shakespearean language, because Shakespeare, who was actually Francis Bacon, who actually was the founder of the Rosicrucian sect, pen name William Bacon, William Shakespeare. Some say he was also Saint Germain, but regardless, he was the 46th man on the Shakespearean Council. And he was at the age of 46 when he began editing the King James Version of the Bible, all right, which was in 1609. And it took him 2 years to finish it up, which was in 1611. And they was given the authorization to study it from 1604. So if you read Psalms 46 and count 46 words down, you see the word shaky, you count 46 words up from Shelah, which means to worship in Aramaic, as well as also in Hebrew, as well as also in Arabic, which means to make Salat. Read 46 words up, you see the word spear. All right. Now, Shakespeare was the name in which that is utilized as a code for the Shakespearean Council, which actually was a Rosicrucian sect. All right, Shake symbolizes the motion during sex and activity of the Kundalini Shakti force energy called the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. All right, and then Spear symbolizes the phallus symbol, the penis. So, this is what this actually was symbolic to. All right, it was the science of Tantric Kriya Yoga, overtly known at that time by the Europeans or Albions, all right? An esoteric science of the number 46 is based on the life principle of sex, reproduction, and bringing things into manifestation, because it takes 23 chromosomes of a man and 23 chromosomes of a woman to form a human being into existence, which is 46 chromosomes, all right? So King James Version was translated by 46 individuals, all right, firstly. And then there was 9 more who was added to make 54 scholars, although only 51 are actually known, and they was working in 6 different committees, 2 based out of Oxford University, Cambridge University, and West Miser Mensa University. Okay? So this is where they was working out of. Now, when you get into the particular names, let's get into that, the names of these individuals, because that's something in which that we do not normally have the clues on, but we're going to give it out tonight. They worked on certain parts separately. Then they drafted to produce by the committee when compared and revised for harmony with each other. The scholars were not paid for their translation work, but they was required to support themselves as best they could. And many were supported by the various colleges, you know, such as Oxford and Cambridge. But the committees was formed in, I think it was January 1609, and the general committee review met at the Stationaries Hall, London, to review the complete manuscripts for the six companies. The committee included John Boyce, Andrew Dowell, John Hammers, and others known by his initial as A.L., which is actually Arthur Lake. Some speculate it's Arthur Lake. So the roster list composed of also Francis Bacon, which we know as William Shakespeare, Richard Burgess, John Hemmings, Augustine Phillips, Williams Kempe, Thomas Pope, John Bryan, Henry Condell, William Sly, Richard Cowley, John Lowen, Samuel Cross, Alexander Cook, Samuel Gilburn, Robert Armin, William Osler, Nathaniel Phil, John Underwood, Nicholas Toley, William Estertone, Joseph Tyler, Robert Benfield, Robert Ogushi, Richard Robinson, John Stank, John Rice, Christopher Beesden, John Duke, hence as in the Duke family here in North Carolina today, James Wilmot, Edward D. Verrey, even a woman served. Her name is Mary Sidney. Mary Sidney. William Stanley, the 6th Earl of Derby, Sir Edward Dyer, Roger Manners, the 5th Earl of Rutland, and Sir Henry Neville. All right, so these were these particular writers under King James who helped revise the King James Version that we now mostly read, all good Christians read. And that's how that came about. And I just wanted to go into that information because that's a lot of information which that is not normally known. All right. We're going to get into some more information when we come back. Right now, we get ready to hit you up with a song or two, and we'll be back.
Come from. Let it breathe.
Where I come from, no one runs when funds run low in love sums. We choose to tough dumb dumb, but it's done done. We live in humdrum in the slums with scum concealed stun guns. The word mum for fun, son, conundrums ain't pretty in this cesspool called New York City. I call it that cause it smell like shit. Walk around hunchback or you might get hit. I knew a nigga so cracked to his mom. That same motherfucker so cracked to his kid. Looking like 300 coming back from his bed. Like, Farrell, let's get this money for real. Money up. The fuck? But you need me to holler at Steve Driftskin? Hit him escape from New York like Snake Plissken? I told you from the gate that you needed more marketing and these major labels are not listening. Stood in the B-boy stance, teeth glistening from the gold in his mouth, summer breeze whistling. I contemplated my retort, eyes fixed in on a crucifix around his neck, I guess he was Christian. Stepped in the police siren and pitched into the soundtrack of the hood so I spoke with conviction. Spoke as if I was 16, 16. Put a little bass in my voice like pitch bend. Cause where I come from, where I come from, we all come from. Sky, moon, star, the earth, and sun. Multiple skin tones, blood is one. The pen is the ammo to my automatic gun. Bring to fruition what I write to get me out of the slums. And I'm shine, 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 shine like the sun, the world's mine. Each line of speech designed to transcend time and reach the unborn and transform your mind. And I'm shine.
In my heart and in my mind, I'm gonna win in due time. Show me the way, give me your time, and I'm gonna shine, 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 I'm gonna shine.
Now New York, if you're in the house, if you're turning it out, without a doubt, know what I'm talking about. Just scream and shout, and everybody say. Now Detroit, what the fuck could be? Getting wild in the street, see the mark of the beat, face the police. What up, Hack? Shot time, what the fuck is down? So by the pound, just get on down. What the fuck is the ball? The ball, you see? West Coast, side with the most, holding your toes, brag your boats. What the is the wall? What the hole? Everybody heard?
All right, we're going to go to the open lines. We got some questions. We're going to start at area code 512. You're on the line.
Yo, what's going on?
Peace, peace, peace.
How's it going? Hey, Aleem, well, I was just watching the show, but I was wondering, when are we doing the hip-hop thing, you know?
Let me see. We should be getting ready to do that, you know what I'm saying, pretty soon, you know what I'm saying? So it's probably going to be the week after next. Next week we're going to have Brother Wesley Muhammad, Dr. Wesley Muhammad on. So we're going to do that the week after that. So no doubt, Brother Mike, we're going to get you.
Okay, no doubt, man. I just wanted to see when it was going on and everything. And, keep doing, you know, with that one song you did, what was it called? Return of the Ancient Ones.
all right. I'm going to throw that on for you before we get up out of here.
All right. I appreciate it, man. Yo, please take it easy.
All right, peace, God. All right, we got area code 267. Area code 267, you're on the line.
Hey, what's up, man?
Peace, what's up?
Hey, Phelan, I just wanted to know if you knew any information about the Council of 12.
The Council of 12?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Majesty Council of 12. That what you're talking about?
Yeah.
The Majestic.
I just wasn't clear on that.
Yeah, the Majestic Council of 12 is nothing more than an individual who came together in order to basically bring this new world order into being. And out of a lot of those programs came forth the MK Ultra, the MK Delta programs, in which that dealt with mind control, manipulation of the food supplies, which Monsanto is fulfilling now as being backed by the Rockefellers. Of course, Bill Gates speaking about, you know, genocide, you know, of the population, sterilization of the population, because his father worked on those programs. You know, all of this is basically part of the Majestic 12 maneuvers. And, of course, the Majestic 12 also dealt with UFO technology. At least they claim it's UFO technology. I haven't seen an alien as of yet, you know, except they keep calling Mexicans, you know, aliens. That, I mean, that's about it, you know. But, you know, as far as actual seeing, I've seen aircrafts. I've seen UFOs or unidentified flying objects, you know. But I'm pretty sure that I identified it because I was able to see it, so it was identified, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't see who was flying on it, you know what I'm saying? So I think there's a lot of misinformation that is out, even though it is claimed that there's at least 57 different species of aliens here upon planet Earth, or life forms, or extraterrestrials. They are saying that we ourselves are made up of at least 22 of those species. You know, humanity is made up of at least 22 of those species. So, I mean, there's a lot of information out, you know, on that, but that's what you're talking about, the Majestic 12, and that's what that is all symbolic to. You know, also the formation of the CIA in the 1950s, along with NASA in the 1950s, and both of those came from the so-called, quote-unquote, people from the OSS or the Nazis after World War II. Those scientists was brought over here, just like Adolf Hitler was brought over here. If you get the book, Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper, William Cooper speaks about Adolf Hitler didn't die until 1983, and that he lived in Arizona as an artist. You know, so there's a lot of things in which that is going on, you know, and he had, you know, naval intelligence, secret security access, you know, so it'd be good for all of us to behoove all of us to go back and read his book again, you know, and check it out.
Okay.
And he speaks about the Majestic 12 in his book, too, if you, you know, want to read more information on it.
Okay.
All right. Next caller, thanks. 609, you're on the line.
Peace. A couple questions. Are you taking any more students for this wisdom that you're giving? It's like, it's so much, man. It's powerful.
Oh, yeah. We always taking students. We have our classes, online classes for Healing Wings Institute every Sunday and Tuesday. We have classes in the classes last 3 months in which that we teach on alternative healing, as well as also on metaphysics and astrotheology. So we teach all this information in the classes. And
yes, that's right where I'm at, man. Okay.
Right where you at, you can throw on the computer. We're going to go to any meeting or either WebEx, and you'll be able to see my presentations that I'm doing. So you can't see the presentations that I'm doing here on the radio, but you will be able to do that in class, and you'll be able to actually have the classes recorded, and you be, and I will send the presentations to you. In order to
research. That's what's up.
So those classes are 3 months long, and for tuition of $500 for the three months. And so anybody who want, you know, to join the classes, get more of this information, a lot of it is in my books, you know, Out of the Womb, In the Mind, as well as also the First World Order.
Mm-hmm.
And we got many more books coming. We got the next book, Holy Orgasm. We got another book called Better, The Blueprint to Great Health, you know. So we got a lot of books coming ahead this year, you know, so just keep up with us, and we're going to bring you on more fire.
Definitely. That's what's up. Just, you bring a lot of understanding because, you know, being I grew up as a young minister in the church, and, you know, it's like trying to unfold all these lies, man, that teaching in the pulpit.
I hold every position in the church.
Yeah, I feel you. I was a musician, a minister, and everything, man. Most ministers from church don't, they're not really knowledged, or, you know, they go to, like, their Bible school, and that's as much as they learn, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And they don't teach them this information that I'm dropping in, seminary, or better yet, cemetery. But this is my email.
The one question I did have, you probably can answer this, but I don't know if it's like a quick question, but can you explain what the whole thing is, or the whole movement that's behind this whole understanding of what the Holy Ghost is? Like, you know, because in church, you know, people be flipping out and all that, and say, speaking tongues. Is that from another spirit, or is that something because they believe it so much it really takes them over? Or, you know, what is that?
A little bit of both. If you go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it speaks about the gifts in which that you would inherit from the administrations of the same spirit, which is talking about miracles,
right,
prophecies, healing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, faith, knowledge, all of these things you will inherit or get or obtain by this activation. And what it's talking about, the Holy Spirit is your kundalini energy, your kundalini shakti energy, which is resonating at the base of your spine. And normally only runs about 10% through your body, in which that gives you the life force energy in which that you exist here within this dimension. However, you have more of it to 100%, so there's 90% in which that is unused right now. And by prayer and by meditation, you can tap into more than just the 10%. This is what scientists say, that you only about 2 to 10% of your brain, and the other 90% or more is dormant.
So the
kundalini, when it is awakened, it opens more areas in the brain, so it gives you activation of the left as well as also the right hemisphere of the brain, in which that give you God consciousness or Christ consciousness. But you have to get to those levels through the prayer and through the meditations, which is positive affirmations, or what's called mantras, or hesis, or hekahus, which is talking about sounds of power or words of power. You know what I'm saying? So you have to come up
with... So it's really not praying like the way they teach you how to pray in church, because I don't seem to get no results from that.
Well, you can do the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer symbolizes bringing down energy into the body, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And 23rd Psalm symbolizes bringing up energy into the body. So it's the manipulation of what is called the cosmic force, which is the microcosmic orbit, which is also energy, or the kundalini, as it runs through the middle channel or the middle area of the spinal column up the back,
right,
which is called the shoshuna. And it... what is called the governing vessel and the conceptional vessel, in which that symbolizes the energy coming up from the perineum, which is between the scrotum sac and the anus area, up to the top of the head, and then back down from the top of the head back down to the perineum in the front. So those connections, when you take your tongue and put up behind your up at your upper palate behind your teeth, and you pull up your anal muscles in the perineum, you keep the energy circulating in your body as you inhale and exhale, and it causes an instant or connection throughout the body, in which that when you move that energy through visualization, that becomes your prayer, and you can actually say any affirmation that you want to in order to help with healing, to help with opening your psychic centers, to help with manifestation and abundance and success.
Finances, right.
Finances, right. Anything which that you want, meant by ask and it shall be given. Well, ask
shall be given.
You can't ask for something if it's only working at 10%, but you can't if it's working beyond 10%.
That's right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it can't be given to you when it's beyond 10%. So that's what that is all symbolic to. You go back to the book of Genesis, it tells you about Abraham gave a tenth of all that he had to the king.
So that's what the tithe is.
Right. No, but it didn't tell you that it's tithes. But tithes also means by the work of your brow. You don't mean by...
Okay.
Money coming out your pockets, meaning by the work of your brow, which symbolizes the work in which that you do. Because 10% of your brain is activated now, and you want 90% more usage, which gives you 100% usage of the brain. So Melchizedek symbolizes the 90% of the brain that goes unused.
Wow.
Symbolizes the 10% in which that must be given to the 90, so that you can have 100% usage of the brain.
Okay.
That's what that all symbolizes. But they tell you that it means money, they can get 10% of your check.
Yeah, so they can fill their pockets up, right.
Right. Instead of teaching what the real mystery is, and that is bring God or to activate God within the body, because remember, your body is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16.
That's right.
Do you not know that your body is the temple of God?
Mm-hmm.
Luke 17:21, where it says, the kingdom of God is within you.
Within you, right, right.
Right, so God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ is within you. They, what they have done is given us, and they have anthropomorphized these characters so that we can worship something outside of us. Which
outside
is the image
of us
of them.
Is really inside of us, right. Wow.
Right, so in that way, we are the Antichrist because we're worshiping something outside of us. So, yes, in the Old Testament, it says God is the jealous God. Of course he's jealous because you're giving all your energy to something outside of you instead of focusing on what is inside of you and the God within you.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful, man.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to stop being anti-crisis and begin to become Christ. And the only way to become Christ-like, as the Christians claim that the name means, is by actually not just stop cussing, because that's what they think. Oh, I can't.
They ain't got nothing to do with that.
They ain't got nothing to do with that. The order ain't got nothing to do, the work. And it says the sweat of the brow. Well, anybody know metaphysically, that's talking about the third eye. The third eye is called the forehead, which is in between
the
eyebrows.
The brow. Yep, that's right.
About to do the work of the brow is talking about where that serpent at on the tiara of the pharaohs. When you see that serpent raising that, it's talking about raising the serpent.
Oh,
the word kutamini means serpentine fire. The serpent fire.
Yeah.
You can go back to the 1977 song.
Serpentine fire, earth, wind, and fire.
Fire, 1967.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
But they talk about serpentine fire, morning glory. So, I mean, these are the things in which that are the mysteries in which that we need to begin to start dispelling these myths out, you know, these myths behind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the spell has taken us. The Leviathan spell, the spell of Kingu, as Dr. York always called it. We call it the Woody Lynch chip, you know, nowadays. You know what I'm saying? All of it is the same thing as a spell. And
right.
They have,
okay.
It use technology and wordplay, reverse psychology, and have everything set up.
Okay, I see what you mean.
All right.
All right, peace. I'll be on there signing up for that class.
All right.
All right, then.
All right. We got call 502, 502, area code 502.
Yeah, this is Aku Sahu, Nabajir Sahu, Ali, El Bay. How you doing, bro? I was just tapping in. I see you shot me across something across Facebook. I've been on your page as a friend. Every time I miss you, but I've been checking you out for like 2 years now.
All right.
But I was just tapping in, man.
All
and I'm listening.
All right, appreciate that.
No problem, no problem.
All right, appreciate you guys here, and I'm my co-host, my wife, and she getting ready to drop some info on y'all about how to contact us.
Peace and honor, listeners. If you would like to take the classes, please email Aline at healingwingsonline@yahoo.com. Again, that's healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, wings with an S, W-I-N-G-S, online, @yahoo.com. Also, too, for the family that are in St. Louis, Aleem is doing he's doing TV shows every Saturday at 6:30 a.m. in the morning. It's only a 30-minute segment, but we are on mainstream TV. It'll be on Channel 7 or on Channel 46, so definitely check that out. That's every Saturday, 6:30 a.m., on Channel 7, Channel 46. Y'all call us, let us know what you think, give us some ideas that y'all want to see. The last Saturday, he spoke about the 20 presidents before Obama. So he really went in, you know. So y'all check that out. It'll definitely be for 6-month segments. We're already all paid up, so we're doing this for the people. So y'all check that out.
All right, we got caller 267. Caller 267, you're on the line. Peace. Caller 267. Caller 267. All right. You're going to
the kind of things
now.
You might have left at home or with airport security. The market is open 20.
All right. They must be watching TV. All right. We're going to get back into this information. All right. Oh, we got another caller, 512. 512, you're on the line.
Oh, I'm just listening still.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Peace, Brother Mike. Appreciate you.
Peace.
All right. We got caller 540. Caller 540, you're on the line.
Peace.
Peace.
This is Anubis El Bay.
Peace, Brother Anubis.
How you doing?
All right.
I just wanted to know, what did you think about the Supreme Court with the religious act that they just put out, where you could, anyone could do anything they want to do now with the religious act. And they passed it 9-0.
Okay. Did you read any more into it?
I didn't really get to read
it. Just do anything that we want to now. Well, I mean, I thought that's
right.
What this country's supposed to have been built on already, according to the Constitution, that Congress can't legislate or make any laws concerning religion.
That's
so
what
I mean,
thought, so I...
right? So I mean, I think it's the religious acts is an oxymoron. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, if that's the case, then we should be able to build like the Vatican. Then, you know, because originally that's what the Moorish Science Temple or slash the Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the World slash the Moorish National and Divine Movement of the World or North America was actually set up on originally was for the tenants in order to do the same thing. In 1913 to 1928, you know, as the Vatican. Matter of fact, it is said that Prophet Nabi Jali did it in 1913, and then a year later, the Vatican ended up doing it, you know, and which that formed the Papal State within the heart of Rome or Italy, you know, so. I mean, if that's the case, then we should be able to do that too, you know, and form our governments, you know, government as we see fit, you know. So if that is the case, you know, if that is the case, you know, so if it is, then that should give us some leeway in order to do what we need to do then. We see that the Moorish Americans are being recognized by the various mayors throughout the various states. At least 9 mayors have recognized the Moorish American Week, January the 8th through the 15th. So, I mean, this being progress, this making progress. So, it's about keep doing what we're doing and getting the message out to the people.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to know. I heard them talking about Sharia law and the
right.
groups.
Right. Sharia law is just, the word Sharia just means noble. You know, it comes from the word Sharif, you know, or sheriff. You know, and that's just talking about noble law. But that's universal law. You know, so I don't need a law in order to tell me not to steal because if I have not been taught how to steal or I did not have to steal out of necessity based on the reptilian portion of the brain, then guess what? I won't be stealing.
So
if we teach the people how to
go ahead and teach the people
how to be in their higher self instead of their lower self as a society, you know, and teach these principles, you know, then we won't have to worry about the things in which that go on and which that becomes part of Shari law, such as if you steal, your hand got to get cut off. No, that's nonsense.
So the Moorish Science Temple could set up its own court systems?
Of course, their own tribunals, their own court system, yes, with their own councils.
Okay.
That's the way
it's
supposed to be.
That's what I thought. So I was just wondering if that's going to happen. Is it coming about? Will that happen?
It's coming about in small increments. You know, I mean, we're looking at a school of thought which has been around now for about 90 years or so, almost 100 years. Actually, we're talking about from 1913 to now, getting ready to be, it's 2012, getting ready to go into, 2013. And so it would be a year, you know, of that manifestation. And supposedly it was on May 1st, 1913, in which that the old Canaanite or the Canaanite temple was formed or put together by Prophet Nabi Jali and others. You know, so, you know, we will see, you know, as we progress here, you know, I think there's been a lot of slowness within the temple because it was infiltrated, you know, by Masons, as Brother Taj speaks of, and we're talking about slave Masons, we're not talking about free Masons, there's a difference, and I always have to make that differentiation, you know, because we're not into hiding any information from the people, you know, so it was infiltrated, and these individuals have stopped the civic side of information in order to do nothing but the religious side, in order to have the people worshiping and hand clapping and basically praying the Prophet Noble Dry Lee. And this is the problem which that is going on. And we got to go beyond that. You know, there's nothing wrong with a ceremony or a ritual in which that, you know, you have to do, you know. But when you start putting people under that particular spell for so long and there's no longer the explanation of what they're doing and why they're doing it, and they lose sight of it, you know, and a lot of the temples no longer have their depth chambers part of the institution, which symbolizes first and second and third heaven, you know. So it's similar to the same first and second and third degrees of Freemasonry in a sense, because Prophet Noble Dry Lee was a Rosicrucian, as well as also a which is as well as also a Shriner and a high degree Mason, and he was taught by people such as Jamal Afghani, who actually taught Madame Blavatsky, who formed the Theosophical Society, and who was a student of Pastel Beverly Randolph, who was the supreme grand master of all the Rosicrucians of the world, and who was the best friends to Abraham Lincoln. You know, so, and they was Moors. So there's a lot of information in which that has been taken out, and we simply trying to add it back in so that we can find the correct solution to what is going on here.
Okay. All right. That's all I needed to know. I'll study up on it a little bit more.
All right.
I appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Peace.
Peace. All right. All right. We're getting ready to get back into the info here for the last few minutes. Matter of fact, I don't think I got too much more time. So we're getting ready to end this tonight's discussion. And I'm getting ready to put on the song for Brother Mike. He's still holding on the line. So I'm getting ready to play the joint that he's talking about. This is Unclassified Elements. This is Brother WMC and myself, Unorthodox Metaphor 720, known as Dr. Aleem El Bey.
Yeah, South Shaolin, the classified elements, we here now. To all you Fruit Loop, colored candy, white, peanut butter and jelly, coon ass niggas, you best duck and rubber cover. Yo, into the temple gates, cross the fiery lakes, for witness to tortured souls, and plans upon burning stakes. Ascend the cherubims, raising hell to reach heaven gates. Fire bombing cathedrals when I switch my car to stay. Regard to animal, from animal back to God. I'm throwing these jewels like WD Farad to raise a nation that's indispensable, indivisible. Based on principle, relate to digital outputs to outlooks, temperatures rising. As the sun of righteousness gives spiritual guidance in the lion's den, the phoenix arises, spitting balls for Mars to the belt of Orion. With the eye to Hootie, these faggot devils can't fool me. The phallus gave porn and digesting the pig's booty. The sin is the wickedness, lost in the wilderness. We're never at here to this, go ahead and slit your wrist. The black card exists, where devils try to exit, leaving them planning crisis until destroyed by ISIS. In a pit of demons, I'm ancient Kemet dreaming, converting satanic hordes with the beta semen. Sword swinging, decapitator, parable addicted, crystal wand mystic, keeping glowing drinks when I'm lifted. I'm Melchizedek, moving through 50 states, Hermes Trismegist, with the gods I relate. Mental alchemist, watch love conquer hate. I emanate golden rays above my head to figure eight. I'm Melchizedek, moving through 50 states, Hermes Trismegist, with the gods I relate.
Mental alchemist, watch love conquer hate. I emanate golden rays above my head's a figure eight. In a devil's head, severed on a dinner plate. Before the throne of God, all devils will meet the fate. Below the mason dicks, arises the future great. Imperial, ethereal, sound the trumpets through the stereos. Murders with mics, that's why I scratch off the cereal. Reverse creation, send you back to some minerals. South Shaolin, double MC is the abbot. Morris be the nation, black man's land, we gotta have it. Restore the throne, eradicate the savage. When disaster strikes, actual facts you can't manage. A fool's on deck, sink ships like Titanic. Spreading fear across the land, causing unjustified panic. Amongst the brain dead zombies, grabbed and spits abandons. While these wicked overseers collect residuals in their hammock. Corporate fruits forever remain rancid. Poisoning to the mind, inflicting subconscious damage. I'm Melchizedek, moving through 50 states. Only transmittance, what their gods I relate. Mental alchemist, watch love conquer hate. I emanate golden rays above my head's a figure eight. I'm Melchizedek, moving through 50 states. Only transmittance, what their gods I relate. Mental alchemist, watch love conquer hate. I emanate golden rays above my head's a figure eight. Return of the ancient one, the Moorish Naga, the dragon rider, or breathing fire. Generator, operator, destroyer, a self lord and master, instructor, a Kama Sutra, practicing Tantra, a Kriya Yoga, a Kutalini, the resurrector, Shishuna, the eater, Pingala, awaken the seven chakra to come to Avatar, Muhammad the conqueror, putting swords to your jugular, send you to the ether, the water, air, fire, bender, the earth ruler, usher in the new era. In the saga, eyes filled with terror, eerie sounds of horror, reflection cracked mirrors, minds made feeble, dreams crumble, the curse tremble, thieves in the temple, raise the mental, beyond the four devils, you whack motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying, or you got them cool niggas out there, you know what I'm saying, yo, it's time to put that fucking rope around them goddamn throats, you know what I'm saying, cause you didn't all this goddamn hip-hop, that's why hip-hop dead, motherfuckers.